Peter chapter number 1. Thought it needed to be read to our church. Thank God for His grace and mercy. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I know it's already about a quarter till. We've got a little meeting after church, but we want to give you this tonight. Lord willing, we get done here with this study on these seven things that we need to add to our faith. Maybe next Sunday night we'll be dealing with some issues about family, marriage, raising children, and such of that fashion. So you be praying for that, and may pray that it be a blessing and help to our church and our families. Amen. God has a lot to say about everything in your life. Best thing to do is figure out what He's got to say about it. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Everybody stand if you can. We'll read these verses real quick. Verse number 5 through verse number 11. Seven things we need to add to our faith. Well, the seventh one tonight, and it is charity. Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, that takes an effort, right? Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge. It all starts with faith. It all starts with salvation. And this is what we've been showing, these steps of growth in a child of God's life. And somewhere within these one to seven things, you're at that point in your life where you're growing. I'll say that everybody's not growing the same way. Amen. And everybody's not at the same level. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're trying to do what you can and grow in grace. Now, if you've got stagnant in your life and you're not putting forth any effort to grow any further, then there is a problem. But we must also realize that everybody's not been saved the same length of time. Don't have the same benefits others do. And it takes a little more time to grow. So be patient with one another and allow the Lord to have His way in your life. Amen. He says, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, verse number 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you. So they'll be in there. And what? Abound. They're to be in great plenty. Amen. If they're in great plenty in your life, what happens? They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, if they abound in your life, you will be fruitful. Amen. You are to bear fruit as a child of God. Amen. If they're in great plenty, if they're abounding in you. Number 2, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Number 2, if these things abound in you, you will be focused. You won't be blind. You mean you have your eyes on Christ and on the right goals in your life and going forward for the Lord. Verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again, diligence. That's that effort, steady application of mind and spirit and body. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So if they abound, number 3, they'll keep you from falling. Now, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if they abound, number 4, you will fulfill your life for God. Is that not what we should all desire? Number 1, to be fruitful. Number 2, to stay focused. Number 3, to keep from falling. And number 4, to fulfill our lot in this life. That when the dust settles and they roll us into the casket, yeah, if that's the way it goes out of the rapture, we can say, well done. God might say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Amen. Let's pray tonight, amen. Ask God's blessings on our service. Brother Brian, how about praying for us tonight, brother?
Yes, Father, we'll come to you like a Father. We just thank you, Father. Just help us to understand the Father, that Father, that's the grace of my society, Father. That's free to work, Father. Give the King's Father, pray to the
Amen. You may be seated. These seven things that are to be added to our faith kind of step up in growth within our lives. Just a little recap, and we are at the seventh one, which is charity in verse number 7. Add to brotherly kindness, charity. Amen. The first one we saw was virtue. Someone said virtue is the preparation for truth. It's where it all starts out at. After faith in Christ, you get virtue in your life and things begin to prepare for you for truth. And then knowledge. Someone said knowledge is the reception of truth. So then you're prepared for truth, then you receive that truth. Then temperance, and temperance is the effect of that truth. It begins to produce self-control in your life. So God lays a foundation in faith. You get virtue in your life that prepares you for truth. You receive that truth and knowledge, and in temperance it begins to affect your life in self-control. Then patience, that's the refining of truth. That thing's going through the mill a little bit, amen. It's coming out to shine a little bit brighter in your life. Now that truth is added in your life. Then number five, godliness. And godliness is the comprehension of truth. And you begin to see the way God sees. You begin to look at it the way God looks at it. You get a whole other aspect on your life, amen, when godliness comes in. Then brotherly kindness, number six, that's the application of truth. Now I'm helping it. I'm applying it in my life in loving someone else. And then charity, the last one, is the display of truth. The display of truth. It is being put on show. Now the word charity has been tried to have been corrupted in a lot of perversion Bibles where they call themselves Bibles and think that the word charity should mean love because love is a better word for charity. And then they change it to love, and then they got to go to the Greek to tell you how love's supposed to be interpreted because love ain't good enough word. And so then love means agape love or phileo love, and you got to go all Greek and Hebrew. Why just leave it like God said in charity? Because charity works. Amen. Hey, what greater description of love than charity? I mean, love is so distorted in our world today, and how much they use that word in a very a sexual and sensual, devilish way. Hey, you ever see here charity used in that kind of form? I mean, the word charity means a handout. Still works. That's a handout. Something freely given. Charity. I need some charity, you know. It's a handout is what it is. Charity is giving, expecting nothing in return. That's the kind of love God had. God had charity, amen. He gave, expecting nothing in return, amen. For God so loved the world, He gave. That's the kind of love God had. He expected nothing in return but to receive His Son as your Savior and be saved from a devil's hell, amen. That's charity, amen. Take your Bibles with me, look in Colossians chapter number 3. Charity, as we deal with this subject of charity. The display of truth, amen. Your life is beginning to show a great image of God in this world. The display of truth. But you know, charity is the crown. I mean, it's the top notch, man. It's up there where really it settles it all, amen. There's some things in this passage description that I'll make application to that I really don't have them nailed down like some other scriptures in the Word of God. But I do want to give you some food for thought on these things. Now, there's seven things that we're to add to our faith in 2 Peter. And they're described out from virtue all the way to charity. And they're laid out very plain. And they're the growth of in a child of God's life, as we saw. But when you come to Colossians chapter number 3... Paul, writing to the Colossian church, he gives seven things here. And for some reason, I can begin to look at these seven compared to the seven in Peter, and they begin to kind of mesh together. They begin to kind of, you know, coincide with one another, for lack of better terms, if you will. But look what the Bible says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. Now look at this now. Pay attention to it. He said, But now ye also put off these. All these. What am I putting off? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we're to put off these filthy things in our lives. Now go to verse number 10. And having put on the new man. So there's certain things in a child of God's life that he ought to put out of his life, he ought to put off of his life. And if you put something off, you need to replace it with something good. That keeps from having that void in your life that we preach about a lot. You know, a lot of people in that void, they're not doing wrong, but they're not doing good. And there's a void and there's a vacuum in your life. And sooner or later, the devil will suck you back into this old world. It's kind of like that passage over there in the Gospels where the Bible said they went in there and run out those devils and then cleaned the house, amen. But they never filled the house with God. They never filled the house with anything good. It was a vacuum and a void, and the devil brought back more with him and filled that house and destroyed it, amen. What happens in our lives a lot. Amen. You say, well, I'm not going to do that because that's not good. That's a good thing. And I'm not going to do this. It's not good. That's good. You know, ladies, things that you know is no good, like wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication. But make sure you replace it with something good. So he's putting on. What are you putting on? Look what he says in verse number 10. And having put on the new man. That new man is that creation of God, you know, kind of what we preached about a little bit this morning. Look at this. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So he talks about putting off the bad, but then you begin to put on the right, and that putting on of the right is the image of God. Now, that image was given to you at salvation when the image was lost from Adam, and God brought the image back, that devil that tried to blind you from being saved. God gave you back that image of God, made you a son of God, you know. But he says, and practically living, you need to put off things, you need to put on the right things, and that thing is the image of God. That's the new man inside of you. Now, follow along. Look at verse number 11, amen. He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now what did he begins to, and he begins to describe Christ being in you. When I look at what he lists us in just a moment, which is these seven things, and if you look at them with the seven things in Peter, they kind of go together. You've got to use your mind a little bit, because we're not looking directly at them, and I'll try to make it as plain as I can, because I don't have my mind really wrapped around it. But I know one thing that's going on here is you're putting off the old, and you're putting on that new, and that new is the image of God. And these seven things that are listed here, now I look at them as the attributes of God. And so when they're in you, they're showing forth God. And that crown jewel of charity is that image result of showing God to the world. It's being what we preached out in the youth rally the other day. Being a Christian, showing, being Christ-like, having that godly display of God. And charity is the display of that truth. It's putting itself on show. And what better way to show God than to have the attributes of God in you and showing out in your life? Look at these attributes. Here they are, and there's seven of them. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's salvation, that's adding to your faith, you know, if you will, bowels of mercy. Mercy's the first one. Now, if you lay them beside the seven, I'll give them to you with Peter. Mercy lays aside virtue in the order of the seven. And then he says, kindness. Kindness lays aside with knowledge. The first couple, I kind of maybe struggled a little bit trying to tie with virtue, with the attribute of mercy of God, and then kindness, the attribute of God, with knowledge. Well, maybe the right kind of knowledge, you have the right kind of kindness, the virtue to have the right kind of mercy. But then he says, what? Humbleness. Humbleness, the third thing you add to in Peter is what? Temperance. So self-control. So I can see a little bit of how it kind of blends with humbleness. Self-control and humility, you know. Then he says what? Humbleness of mind, meekness. Now meekness lays aside the fourth one in Peter, which is patience. I mean, what better thing to have with patience is some meekness in your life, amen. And then he says what? Long-suffering. Long-suffering lays aside godliness. The attribute of God, godliness, he's a long-suffering God, right? Then he says, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now this is the sixth one that lays out very plain over here. That's brotherly kindness. See, that begins to lay together pretty good. Brotherly kindness. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. And the seventh one, you know, is charity. Now look at verse number 14. And above all these things. The crown. The top. Above all these things, put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I mean, you've got up to a stage in your life. Now, God's blood is what makes us perfect as far as going to heaven. It cleans us from our sins. He's talking about practical life, adding things to your faith, being a display of God to this world. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. You're beginning to show Christ to this world. This is the top-notch display. This is the point where you've gone a little bit further in your life, and now you're no longer living your life for yourself. Yes, you've got virtue, you've got some knowledge, you've got temperance, God taught you patience, you got a bit of godliness in your life, you got love for the brother, but now charity's on display. You're living as God would live if he was literally walking in your shoes. Amen. The bond of perfectness, amen. Above all, the crowning jewel, amen. Hey, and you know, in a sense, you ain't to say that word because we never arrive till we get to heaven, but man, you've got it in that thing where you're really showing God to this world. The bond of perfectness. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Man, there's peace of God. When you get there, you're talking about peace of God. Not that peace with God, Romans 5, a 1, that's with salvation. This is the peace of God with service. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And that's arriving in your practical walk, man, if you will. And we never should get to the point we think we've got it all settled and got it all figured out. We're not going to get there until we get to glory. Let there be some growth in your life where you get the crowning jewel of charity, of Christ-likeness in your life, that people are seeing God in you, and you're thinking like God, you're walking like God, and you're talking like God. You've got to a point in your life where you have really matured.
Amen, preacher.
I mean, that's the steps of growth. And to get to that point, is that not a desire for you as a child of God? That it's no longer about me. It's no longer about the me spirit, me first, I've gotten to the point where I've grown. I've got brotherly kindness, but now charity's been displayed in my life. And people are taking notice that there's something really different about you. It's not any prideness, because it's humbleness. But it's meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and the crowning jewel of charity in your life. Now look with me at some verses and we'll try to make a little more sense of it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you can fit that thing together with those seven there somehow, amen, dig a little bit more riches out of it, I'm sure it'll be great, a blessing to you. Charity. But it is the crowning jewel. It's the top notch. In both lists, whether it be in Colossians 3 or 2 Peter 1, charity is the end, result of it all. Now, so I just begin to look at the word charity in our Bible. The first time it's mentioned is here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'll say, first of all, charity edifies. It's beneficial. It doesn't harm, it doesn't hurt, it helps someone else. I mean, is your life to the point where your life helps and edifies others? I'm not talking about this knowledge thing where you got a little bit of puffiness and pride. Knowledge brings, you know, puffiness and the pride that comes with knowledge. Or a little self-control where you look down, I can hold back when others can't. They're doing things I don't do. You got a little patience and godliness. You know, as you grow, and the more you grow, you got to be careful of the devil slipping in there and swelling your head up, making you think there's something when you're really not, you know. Hey, real charity edifies others. It's not about tooting your own whistle, tooting your own horn. It doesn't really matter whether anybody sees you or not. You just want to serve God. Hey, in these steps of process, when you begin to pick up these growth processes in your life, you can get points in that thing where you kind of feel like, well, I'm doing this thing and I got this thing figured out. When you get to charity, you realize it's the good grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But he also realized his grace was not bestowed on him in vain. He labored more abundantly than him all. He had got that crowning jewel, I believe. He had arrived. You can say that word in a sense of service for God. Amen. If God said it out there, it ought to be able to be achieved. Right? God's not put that in the ass to do something that's not capable of being done. But very few people get to that growth process in their lives. And I'll try to give you a little bit more. But look in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know. How do you know that? Because of knowledge, right? 1 Corinthians 8 1. That we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity what? Edifies. He goes on to say, verse 2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Even though he's got a little bit of knowledge, even though he's maybe even got a little temperance with it and some patience with it, if he thinks he's got it and thinks he's got it figured out, he knows nothing that he ought to know. Look in verse 3, but if any man love God, love God. Charity. Love. If any man love God, the what? The same is known of him. You get that? When you got to that point, amen, it's not some kind of prideful thing, boasting, I know this, I know I'm better than somebody else. And no, I'm not thinking I'm something, amen, lest I fall, you know. He's got to this point where if any man love God, the same as known him. When you reach that plateau of charity, if you will, and you've got that sense of maturity in your life, the same of being known, you ain't got to tell nobody. Might have got to say, well, I'm a Christian, I didn't let you know that up front. And you're just living for God, man, people are going to realize who you are. Jesus Christ did not have to go around saying, I'm the Son of God.
Amen.
He just lived and followed the Lord, and everybody took notice there was something different about that guy right there. Amen. Hey, something not the same with everybody else. He sticks out like a sore thumb. Amen. Just like they did in Acts chapter 16 and verse 26, when those people at Antioch were called Christians, they stuck out. They got to that point in their life through growth and following God and serving God. Hey, they got that crowning joy, and people started taking notice that that's a child of God. Amen. People taking notice in your life? Charity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. A whole chapter on it, man. A whole chapter on it. This is the second time it's mentioned, and it's mentioned a whole chapter written on it. It was said the love chapter. What's the charity chapter? It's that handout love. It's that giving, expecting nothing. Look at how he describes it. We'll just read it. God said it so good. He said, chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not what? Charity. I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You're making no sense. Hey, look what he says in verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, you got some knowledge, you got some things in your life. Amen. He says, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, amen, trust in the Lord, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity. You know what the Bible says? I am nothing. I am nothing. You get that right there? He said, I am nothing. Well, I got a little bit of knowledge. I got some faith in my life. Hey, if you have not charity, God said, you are nothing. You ever look at the word Christian, display of true charity, Christ in you, the hope of glory, showing Christ to the world? The word Christian spells Christ, I-A-N. I am nothing. You get that? Amen. Hey, Christ is everything and I am nothing. Hey, that's when you have arrived in your life, when you realize Christ is all in all. It's all about Him and I am nothing. There's nothing good in me. It's all the goodness of Almighty God. It's God that's done it in me. People like you say, well, you really doing something good for God? And you realize you've got to stay back and honestly in your heart, not just some kind of facade or showing anything real. A fake, you say, you know what? It's just the good grace of God. Yeah. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't get nothing done, man. God's better to me than I deserve, you know? That real stuff, man. It's all Jesus Christ. I am nothing and Christ is everything. Thank God for God Almighty. Charity is what we need. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. It's a good thing to do, right? And though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Well, thank for the love of God, love of Christ. If it's not being done, not expecting nothing in return, you're just doing it out of goodness of your heart and wanting to be like Christ. It profited nothing. You know what charity does? Verse 4. Suffer long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. You know, use these things in vows with husbands and wives, and they got no clue what in the world they say. I mean, you go straight in. Well, you know, suffer long. You know, read that preacher. That sounds real good for our vows. And you're so selfish. You know, he's got a clue, man. As soon as you don't get your way, man, you can't take nothing. You can't suffer long. You can't put up with any kind of junk. You know, you're envying everything that's going on. You're boning yourself. You puffeth up about everything that's going on. He says, doth not behave itself unseemly. You got some self-control in your life. Why? Because you got charity. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Hey, you got charity in your life? I mean, that's a good thermometer right there, man. How do you behave yourself when things don't go your way? Do you seek your own or the things of Christ? Are you easily provoked? Are you always thinking wicked, evil thoughts? Where's charity at? That ain't God in you, man. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's charity. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. There was no growth in my life. Not the rising is adding to my faith, virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Still speaking as a child. But, he said, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. And now about faith, one, hope, two, charity, three. These three. But the greatest of these is what? That's the greatest of them, charity. You know what faith says? Faith says, I know God can deliver me. That's a good thing to have. Faith in God. God can do it. You know what hope says? I hope He can deliver me. Why is charity greater than faith and hope? Because charity says, whether God delivers me or not, I'll still serve Him. Hey, you got there. You might have a little bit of faith. So I know God can do it, preacher. And you got faith in God. It's good. Amen. Got a little bit of hope in God. I hope He does something, you know. Hope and also hope kind of thing, you know. But do you have charity? Whether God delivers or not, I still serve Him. That's the difference, amen. And a lot of people have not gotten to that point, amen. They got faith in God, but when all hell breaks loose, they back up on what they say God can do. They lose all hope, you know. But charity stays there. Faithful stays. Charity is long-suffering. It's gentle. It's kind. It's there for the long haul. Charity says whether God delivers me or not, I'll still serve Him. That's what you find in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, they would come before the king and said, bow when you hear the music. And they said before the king, Daniel chapter number 3, I think it's verse 17 and 18. He said, you know, go ahead and say what you're going to say. We're not bowing. Our God which we serve is able to deliver us. That's faith. I know He can deliver us. But if not, this is what they said, but if not, because we hope He does, but if not, let it be known unto thee that we will not bow unto that image. We will not bow to your music. Amen. We're not going to give in. Hey, we got charity in our hearts that's being displayed in our lives. We've arrived in this thing. Hell or high, Lord, I'm still serving God. God's good whether it goes good or bad. I'm still with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what they said. Amen. It's found over there in those three boys. Hey, it's found over there in Nehemiah 6:11. Nehemiah and that crowd. Look at this one over here. Look at it. Let me show you a couple of them. Nehemiah 6. This is charity, man. It abideth. It stays. Though the others vanish away, charity will always be there. Ezra and Nehemiah, right? Let me find it here. First one to get it, say amen. All right. Nehemiah 6, you there? Amen. Verse 11, you there? Amen. What's the first word? Come to try to stop Nehemiah from building the wall, right? Nehemiah said this, and I said, should such a man as I flee? Are you giving me a way out? You giving me a way to run? Should I flee? Who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Nehemiah said, you know what Nehemiah can do? He can get off. He can escape all the danger. But you know what he said? I ain't going in. I'm not fleeing. Amen. I'm building a work for the Lord, and I'm not backing down. And if God, if you kill me, you kill me. I'm sticking it out for the Lord. Hey, charity has been displayed in Nehemiah's life. Hey, look at the next one. Look at Esther. Nehemiah, Esther, the next book. Esther 6, Esther 4. You remember Esther? Esther shown favor of the Lord to try to deliver the Jews out of the bondage they were in. And Esther heard and got news from Mordecai, that Mordecai and what was going on and how they were going to try to destroy the children of Israel and kill their people. And here she is living in the palace with the king, got it easy, you know, and why should she worry about anybody else? And they was told to her, you're going to have to go before the king and get this thing stopped. And she said, if I go before the king and I'm not asked, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I know who God is, and I know what God can do. I got faith, you know, but, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Look at this, Esther 4, verse number 16. Verse 15, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Mordecai said, you got to do it, Esther. We're depending on you. She said, go tell Mordecai this. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Put some faith in God, right? And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, because we hoping God's going to do something. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And here's what she said. And if I perish, I perish. You know what she's saying? You go pray, because we're going to put some faith in God. I hope God's going to do something. But you know what she said? If I perish, I perish. That's charity. I'm going in and trusting God no matter what. If God delivers, good. If He don't, I'm going to die. I'm all in for God. Hey, you got to the point in your life, and you know what? I trust God. God can do it, but sometimes He don't. And when He don't, I'm still going to serve Him. If I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. I got to have some relief. If you throw me in the fiery furnace, so be what? I'm going to still serve my God. Let it be known. I'm not ashamed. Hey, charity in your life. That's what we need to get. Job said, Job 13, verse 15, though He slay me, though He slay me, yet I'll trust in Him. Hey, that's charity, man. It doesn't matter. If He kills me, I'm still going to serve God. He's still the best thing in my life. You got there? Jesus Christ was that prime example, wasn't He? You know what Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, amen, doing the Father's will. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The display of truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was truth Himself, incarnate in flesh. He's the display of truth. And the display of truth said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're going to let them do you wrong? Yeah, I'm putting it all in the hands of God. God, you do something with it. And you know what that centurion done when he looked at her and saw him, when he saw the earthquakes and everything that went on? True. This was the Son of God. Yeah. It was displayed. It was shown. Charity. Where's the display in our lives? Let me throw these things at you real quick. Charity is to be followed. 1 Corinthians 4, 14:1. Do you follow charity? Charity lets all things be done. Let all things be done with charity, the Bible says. All things. Do you do everything with charity? Amen. Colossians 3:14, we saw that. Put on charity. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2 Thessalonians 1. Have it to the brethren. You got charity towards the brethren? You love one another? Encouraging one another. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity. The end of the commandment. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfinished. That's the end of it. Is Christ displayed in your life? 1 Timothy 2:15, he says, continue in charity. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, he says, be an example with charity. Also in 3 John 6, 2 Timothy 3:10, he says, Titus 2:2, be sound in it, amen. 1 Peter 4:8, he says, charity covereth the multitude of sins. Cover sins? Why? Because you got charity. You're not trying to air out everybody's garbage. You're not trying to hurt somebody else. Trying for the better of the kingdom of God, son. Charity. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:14, greet others with it. Revelation 2:19, you know what the Bible says? God knoweth your charity. God knows whether you got it or not. I don't know about you. Look back with us in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Charity. The display of truth. Showing Christ to this world. Growing in grace and wisdom and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you growing? I mean, think about your own life. Look at verse number 5. And besides this, give all diligence. Are you putting forth any effort in growing in the grace of God? That's the way he ends his epistle, right? We told you before, 2 Peter 3:18. But growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When it comes to looking and analyzing your own life and looking into the mirror of God's Word, have you added any virtue to your life? Any knowledge? Do you still crave to know more about the Lord, get in His Word, and sup with Him and talk with Him? Is that knowledge produced some temperance in your life where now you've got a little more self-control than you used to have? Some of you struggle with flying off at the handle, you know. You ain't got no self-control. You need to grow up a little bit, man. As a child of God, you need to get some of that stuff conquered in your life. Women are bad with it. You say, well, we just women. It's that time of the month, that kind of thing, you know.
Come on.
I understand there's a chemical imbalance and, you know, I don't understand it, but it's what they say, you know. So, woo. But I mean, all the time, no self-control. You're not growing much. You're not growing much. Your little patience, that refining of truth, is beginning to, you know, you start to shine a little bit. That's taking the buffer out on you. It's coming. It's coming. Patience, godliness. Now you've got a little God-likeness in your life. Been walking with Him, talking with Him. People start to see God in you. And that godliness is producing a brotherly kindness and that application of truth to others. It's no longer about me. What about my brother and sister? What about them? And then lastly, charity. The crowning jewel. You want to abound? You want to be fruitful, focused, never fall, fulfill your life? Continue to grow. Continue to grow. Ask God to help you with things. Trust Him and follow Him and allow God to produce this growth process in your life till you get to where God can say, hey, you know, I'm ready to take you home. Never stop growing. 7 things to add to your faith. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.